WJBC and WJBC.com. Time for our farm-to-table segment brought to you by DuPont Pioneer. From world-class genetics to local on-farm agronomy trials to a team of local professionals, DuPont Pioneer is with you. We're joined today by Tamara Nelson from the Illinois Farm Bureau. And Tamara, good morning.
Good morning. I am well. Thank you, Terry.
And Tamara, we're talking GMOs today, but first, how about a little information about your background?
Absolutely. I'm a farm girl from Minnesota. I went to school in southern Minnesota and then got my bachelor's out at Stanford University and my master's from Virginia Tech, both sides of the coast, obviously, and kind of in the area of international trade, international relations, and agricultural marketing.
And another interesting tidbit about you, you are a personal trainer.
I am. I've done the Boston Marathon twice, and I have done 7 Ironmans, and I am a personal trainer such that I am not a certified personal trainer, but I work with folks interested in triathlon, better nutrition, running, swimming, and try to help them get more active.
Well, on to GMOs, and Tamara, can you give us the definition?
Yeah. Well, you know, GMO is actually a term of art that wouldn't have been the folks in the industry would have not put it together. So biotechnology is what we traditionally call that science by which you make a biological change in a plant. Genetically modified organism was kind of the technical way maybe that a scientist or a geneticist would have described it 30 years ago. And so that acronym GMO is kind of the one that was picked up by activist groups in Europe in the 80s. And it's kind of one that has sort of stuck out there as the easy way to call something that's been bioengineered.
And we know there are a lot of good uses for GMOs. So can you tell us what GMO crops there are out there?
Sure. Well, there are a lot here in Illinois and in McLean County. There are primarily just 2 crops in this area, and that would be a biotech corn and a biotech soybean. There is also biotech wheat, but it is not widely grown around the United States. And then if people are interested, there's also biotech canola. So that's if people see canola oil, that might be from a biotech crop. And there's also biotech sugar beets, again, not grown in Illinois, as well as biotech cotton, again, also not grown in Illinois.
My next question is, where are these GMOs? And I'm imagining the answer is pretty much everywhere.
Well, and that's a great question. A GMO is not really a thing unless you're talking about that exact molecule or cell that was developed through the process. But we just allow the term to kind of be used. So there's not like you would go out and buy a GMO, but you might buy a product that contains an ingredient from a plant that had been bioengineered. So that plant, you know, could be called a GMO. So you have to go down sort of several tiers. And then, yes, is corn or soybean oil, are those in a lot of products or soy lecithin, things like that? They are in a lot of products, but they're not widely outside of processed foods. So if you're eating just like a orange or a banana, it's not going to be genetically modified because primarily corn and soybean oil or some of the stabilizers that they make out of corn and soybean or cottonseed oil, those would be in packaged and processed foods only. So, yeah, it's out there, but the very, very minuscule amounts in the food.
How are GMO crops tested for safety?
Sure. It is a three-way process. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, and then the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, all three agencies have to approve a biotech crop, and they have to do it in an independent process, one from the other. And before they even get to look at it, the company has to go through levels of scientific research and advancement and then controlled tests grown in a lab or grown in a greenhouse where it can't get out. And so there's probably 5 to 10 years on the company side working before it would ever get into one of the agencies, and then each agency has its process. And so the whole long process is probably 15 years before it would ever be sold to a farmer to be grown.
There's been a lot of recent controversy about food labeling issues. Let's talk about GMO labeling and where that fits into this food labeling conversation.
Sure. Well, probably the most fundamental thing that people need to know about food labeling is that the federal government has a requirement and guidelines for labels on food. Folks are kind of used to the nutritional labels, you know, what's on them, maybe fat content, calories, salt. Some of them, if they're very healthy food, they also have a lot of vitamins and minerals, and then usually there's an ingredient list. Well, the federal government's requirement for mandating something on a label is it has to be scientifically proven to be harmful, or at least some scientific consensus that it's harmful, or it has to be an allergen or something that would cause a problem, a health problem in a certain segment of society. So let's say gluten, for example, a small percentage of society is sensitive to gluten, so that can be labeled for, and there are actually developing labels that would require that to be labeled for some people. Peanuts would be another example. Peanuts are a proven allergen, and so you might even get a chocolate bar that doesn't have any peanuts in it, but you'll notice on the label it will say may have been processed or manufactured in a facility where peanuts were also present. So the goal of the federal law is to protect people who are sensitive or have an allergy or might be somehow harmed by the label, and that is where the mandate comes in, and that is to make sure they have room on the label to protect those people who need it.
And voluntary labeling is also an option.
Yes, great point. And actually, many, many companies already voluntarily label their product as usually non-GMO or GMO-free or organic, which is also by definition GMO-free. And those companies have, over time, you know, they've decided that's a niche for them or that's something that they want to do or they want to be part of the organic program. So there's actually hundreds of thousands of non-GMO labels out there now, and folks can do that. Companies can do that. Not a lot of restrictions there.
And when we talk about food labeling for health and safety reasons, that's where that labeling for peanut allergens and other health issues comes in.
Exactly. And so when we talk about labeling, for example, Illinois Farm Bureau, the American Farm Bureau, Corn and Soybean Association, we've had policy, our beliefs, for 20-plus years that if someone wants to voluntarily label non-GMO or organic or whatever on their label, that is absolutely okay. We do not have a problem that it's preferred that maybe you have some standard you're aspiring to, you know, how much percent not GMO you are or that you are certified organic, but we don't have any problems with that. Our policy has always only said as far as mandatory labels, you should only mandate a label on a product that meets with FDA guidelines. In other words, you can't have people mandating a label just because they're afraid of it. It has to be determined by the federal government to be a real issue, and then it will be mandated. And that a good example of that is a smoking label that came out in the 70s. The federal government, even though a lot of the tobacco companies were saying, well, you know, we don't know for sure that it caused cancer, the government came out and said, well, Surgeon General warning's going on it anyway. We believe it.
Sure, and that's why we may need a national standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually a national standard is really, it's a good thing. It's not going to mean that products won't say anything. They can say something. You'll find lots and lots of companies that will take advantage of the opportunity to say, hey, I think maybe my consumers want a non-GMO, and I'm going to go ahead and make that my label. But you will avoid having created some state-by-state patchwork of rules where, you know, every company that sells into that state is going to have to do a different label than they do everywhere else. So the National Safe and Affordable Food Labeling Act is really a unique and interesting way to do it, and it'll also have some tales of other information that are attached to it, like labels and readers that people can use their smartphones and get all of the ingredients on a product just by scanning the code.
And I understand there's also some pending legislation out there that deals with GMO labeling.
There's two that most people talk about. One is there was a state-level law passed in Vermont about 2 years ago mandating labels at the state. That is something that nearly everyone in the food and ag industry is opposed to because we have a national standard, right? You don't want to have patchworks all over the United States, we should all be abiding by the same food safety rules. So in response to that Vermont law, and actually probably something that was well needed, everyone is working towards a national solution, which is to have a federal labeling act for GMO content, and it will have specifics as to, you know, is that 98% pure, is that 99% pure, is that completely free of GMOs, is that organic? And that way everyone can have their place in the marketplace, and if consumers want to avoid GMOs for some reason beyond avoiding processed foods, they'll be able to see it on the label.
Tamara Nelson, Illinois Farm Bureau, thanks so much for being our guest on Farm to Table today.
Thanks for having us.
And the Farm to Table segment is brought to you by DuPont Pioneer. From world-class genetics to local on-farm agronomy trials to a team of local professionals, DuPont Pioneer is with you. WJBC and WJBC.com.